Today's readings are taken from Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35, and can be found on 985 of your pew Bibles, followed by Matthew 6, 9 to 15, on page 970. Matthew 18, 21 to 35. The parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay everything back. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Matthew 6, verses 9 to 15. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you today. In case you don't know me, my name's Joy Maudsley. I'm the Associate Rector here, and it's great to be here this morning. Okay. It would be really helpful if you could perhaps keep your finger in both those readings, page 970 and 985. That would be wonderful. And let me pray for us as we look at this together. Lord, teach us to pray. This is our prayer this term. And we thank you for your word today. And we pray that it would be alive to us, that you would give us attentive ears and open hearts for all that you would teach us this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. Milton Jones is an award-winning comedian. He's often on Radio 4, and he's written this little book of thought-provoking one-liners entitled 10-Second Sermons. I'm sorry to disappoint you, my sermon today will not be 10 seconds. Indeed, it'll be more than 10 minutes. But Milton Jones packs a lot into his sentences, and this is his one on forgiveness. It goes like this. Once I had a really good book about forgiveness. But I lent it to a friend and they lost it. They're not my friend anymore. It's food for thought. The implication is that all that Milton Jones had read in the book on forgiveness went out the window as soon as he was wronged himself. Now, we have a really good book about forgiveness. It's called The Bible. It has forgiveness woven throughout its pages. The story of God's people, fallen, failing, fallible, yet God loving them and restoring them over and over again. In the Old Testament, we see the provision God made for them in the form of the sacrificial system. Burnt offerings and animal sacrifices were the way in which their sins could be forgiven. We see Jesus welcomed as the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. Forgiveness is there woven throughout the pages of the Old and New Testaments, and here we find it in the Lord's Prayer as we continue to look at this prayer in detail. Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." He places forgiveness at the heart of the things we need to pray about. Last week, our prayer was, "Give us today our daily bread," asking God for what we need each day. And how interesting that this follows on from that. So we remember all that God has given us, all that he has provided, his care for us day by day. And then we remember how little we deserve it. It struck me too that in our prayer for daily bread, we have God meeting our physical needs. In our prayer for forgiveness, we have an expression of him meeting our emotional needs and our spiritual needs, being right with God and being right with other people. I wonder what you think about when you think about forgiveness. I think of words like freedom and restoration and set free to live without the past holding you back and relationships returning to what they were before things went wrong, the relief that all is well again. How well did you do forgiveness in your family as you grew up? How well do you do it now? Maybe forgiveness came, but only after miserable days of no one in the family speaking to you. Perhaps members of your wider family have fallen out and never made up, and no one can really remember what the original issue was all about. Perhaps your family has the healthy habit of never going to sleep, not friends. When it comes to God, maybe his acceptance of you after all you've done is your daily amazement. Or maybe you still don't really believe that God can actually forgive you for the bad decisions that you have made. And so that holds you back from building a relationship with him. And you're cowering in the shadows, not able to come out and enjoy the light. There are two dimensions to forgiveness that we see in the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to look at them today. We find forgiveness in the vertical dimension and forgiveness in the horizontal dimension. So, forgiveness in the vertical dimension. We pray, "Our Father, forgive us our debts." The word translated for us as debts or sins is a word with a kind of wide range of meanings, but the common idea is that it's a word suggesting something which is owed, that's due. It's a duty, an obligation, whether that's to do the right thing as a moral duty or what's required of us by God, a more of a religious duty, if you like. So the word sin or debt has the same idea attached to it. The confession in the old Book of Common Prayer of the Church of England offers a great definition of sin that's all-encompassing. We'll be using this at Speen this evening during Evensong. It goes like this: "We have followed too much the devices and the desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done." Sin is about both what we've done and what we fail to do, and going along with what we want to do without any regard for God's laws as the way to lead our lives. Many of the things we do wrong take place in relation to other people, but there's always the vertical dimension. Our sin always affects our relationship with God. We use the words of Psalm 51 just a moment ago, where David says to the Lord, "My sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned." The Lord's Prayer teaches us that we will never outgrow the need to be forgiven by God. As we pray for daily bread, we pray for daily forgiveness. We will always need to pray this prayer, to ask forgiveness for our sins. It's a great reminder that this side of heaven, we will never have dealt with sin. The struggle will never be over. If anything, the struggle can seem to get worse. The more you seek to serve God, the more you see your shortcomings. You might think it should get easier. But of course, the closer we get to the light of Christ, the more that light shows up the darkness within us. So don't be discouraged if you think as you go on in your Christian life that perhaps you're not a Christian at all because of the way you still seem to do so much wrong in your life. It's the Holy Spirit showing you more of what you need to bring to God as he chips away and takes off your rough edges. Of course, it may be that we're so used to praying this prayer that we're in danger of no longer looking at our lives in the light of God's standards and we think we're actually doing okay. Or that we home in on the shortcomings of others and so we don't notice our own. We might look down on other people and feel pretty good about ourselves in contrast. And yet here we pray, forgive us our sins. There it is. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer for sinners only. The qualification you need for conversion, for being saved, for finding safety in Jesus is to recognize that you are a sinner. It's deeper than acknowledging that sometimes that you do wrong, isolated incidents. It's about sinfulness, that our bias is always towards sin, putting ourselves first, not loving God or our neighbor. Sin is a little word, but it has an I in the middle. Our default position is always away from God and towards sin, and it's all about me. 1 John 1 says, if we say no, we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The truth is that we are sinners and need to pray this prayer. And in the same way that this prayer is to our Father and for our daily bread, so it is, forgive us our sins. We stand as sinners together. Jesus asks us to accept this description of ourselves in public today. Again, in the Book of Common Prayer, it says, Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Look around you at all the miserable offenders there are in church this morning. There is a great equality here. It's a great leveler. We stand together on the same ground. You may have been a Christian for 30 years or 30 days. You may have held positions in the church. Perhaps you come from a long line of Christians down the generations of your family. But we all come and pray this prayer together, acknowledging our need for forgiveness. There is no place in the church for looking down on particular people and particular sins. Let's not be like the religious leaders of Jesus' day, full of how good they were. When we gather on a Sunday, we're not a gathering of the sinless. We gather as equals. We share a common sinfulness. We all need God's mercy. Jesus' prayer is for sinners only. We continue to ask for forgiveness. And so it reminds us of the temptation that's always there to judge, to gossip, to be negative. These tendencies continue to lurk within us all. And coming to God to ask for forgiveness, that vertical dimension, it's vertical because God himself has provided the means by which we are forgiven. Initially, through the blood of animal sacrifice that dealt with guilt and brought forgiveness that needed to be repeated year after year. And then in Jesus, through his blood shed on the cross, through his sacrifice offered once and for all. The way was opened for our forgiveness, for us to be made clean, set free, restored in a right relationship with God. The debts have been paid. It was all done on the cross, and no further sacrifice is needed. And so forgiveness continues to be secure even when we let God down. What about you today? I wonder if you have ever come to God and asked for his forgiveness for the debts that you owe, that you can never pay for. There is nothing that you have done that is beyond the reach of his forgiveness, nothing at all. He never casts away anyone who comes to him knowing their need of him. Today, it's time to come out of the place where you have been hiding and seek his forgiveness and trust in what he has done for you in Jesus Christ. It may be that you've never sought his forgiveness. It may be that you've fallen away from him, which makes the debt seem even bigger. But the price is paid. And so here in this prayer also, we find forgiveness in the horizontal dimension. We pray, "Our Father, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." Verses 14 and 15, they build on that. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And in that parable we heard, after telling the story of the servant who showed no mercy, Jesus said how essential it is that we forgive one another from our hearts. God certainly has something to say about our failure to do so. Why did these things have to be in the Bible? It's so much easier to hold on to all my anger, to feel hard done by, to sit in my righteous indignation about the way I have been treated, and to make the other person pay. That's so much easier than it is to hear these words about forgiveness. It's worth saying a couple of things about these verses. There must be an extent to which the Lord's Prayer expresses our aspiration, what we are aiming for, to forgive those who sin against us. Because if our forgiveness from God depended on our forgiveness of others, none of us would be forgiven, because even what we offer by way of forgiveness is imperfect. It's also important to say that we are not earning God's forgiveness by offering forgiveness to others. We don't forgive others in order to win God's forgiveness. That would be to go against all that we know of about the free gift of forgiveness achieved for us by Jesus on the cross. But what these verses teach us is that these two dimensions, the vertical and the horizontal, are interconnected. We can never separate the two. Jesus' command to love drew together love for God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love for one another, love your neighbor as yourself. The Lord's Prayer tells us that we have no right to seek forgiveness for our own sins if we are withholding forgiveness from others. And there are different reasons why we must be determined to forgive. It was a priority for Jesus. At the beginning of the parable in Matthew 18, Peter asks, how many times must he forgive his brother when he sins? At that time, Jewish rabbis taught that you should forgive others three times, but not on the fourth occasion. So Peter thinks he's being really generous by suggesting seven times, a number symbolizing perfection. But even that perfect number is inadequate when faced with Jesus' mercy. 77 times, says Jesus, or the footnote actually says 70 times seven. We choose to walk in forgiveness because it's really important to Jesus. And of course, in Jesus, who we follow, we see the supreme example of the offer of forgiveness, praying from the cross for those who had crucified him. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He never asks us to do anything he did not do himself. If we have a sense of what Jesus has done for us, a sense of how much we've been forgiven by him, that I am a sinner in need of God's mercy, then I should be able to offer mercy to others. In that parable, the unmerciful servant had lost sight of how much, a massive debt, millions of pounds, that he was forgiven by the king. And so he turned to his fellow servant, whose debt was just a few pounds, and demanded that the debt be paid. We hear a warning today about the importance of forgiveness, for there is a direct connection between our choosing to forgive others and walking in God's forgiveness. Yet many of us here this morning will have been badly wronged, accused, abused, physically harmed or emotionally wounded by others. Some of us will have been talked about unkindly, rejected, passed by for that promotion that had been promised. Some of us will have been bullied, stolen from, lied to, betrayed. Things that have been done to you that have changed your life, changed the person that you are, robbed you of hope and happiness. And so to forgive is not easy. It's really hard. It's a struggle. In many ways, it's a decision. It's not about your feelings. It's something that you decide you must do. It probably doesn't even depend on the other person being sorry. It's a struggle. It's a process. You forgive little by little, having to go back to it again and again. You may decide you can forgive in daylight hours, but wake in the night with it all going round again. New things in your life may trigger old resentments. We forgive because we actually harm ourselves if we don't. It's possible that your decision not to forgive someone who hurt you 20 years ago has left you bitter, so that you're still storing up grievances against anyone who makes you feel small. And now there's this whole mound of grievances affecting your closeness to God. Our refusal to forgive can mean we're eaten up by our own anger. Unforgiveness keeps us connected to an event that was long ago, and our emotional pain can remain as real as it was at the time. In some cases, we may need professional help to process all that has happened and come to a place where forgiveness is possible. The key thing is that we come to God with a desire to forgive. Or perhaps our prayer is further back than that. Lord, give me the desire to even desire to forgive. The wonderful thing about the Greek word for forgiveness is that it simply means let go. Like we let a balloon go and off it goes. What do you need to let go today? What have you been carrying around, perhaps for years? And perhaps today, enough is enough. You need to let it go to finally begin a journey of forgiveness, seeking the forgiveness of God, beginning to forgive others, and perhaps forgiving yourself. Today after the service, there will be some people in or around the prayer chapel to my left if you'd like someone to pray with you. Sometimes you need to stand with someone else. You need to hear them say that you are forgiven. There is no shame in this. And remember, those who pray with you are sinners too, miserable offenders just like you. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Our Father, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you that you are so ready to forgive us when we come to you knowing our need. We thank you that that was costly in the life and death of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you would do your work in us by your Holy Spirit, that you would cause us to come to you and cause us to seek to forgive one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.